aggressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial-A-Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial-A-Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? Welcome to Dial-A-Dork, another episode of your favorite game show. Everyone, my name is Irv. I'm your MC. I'm in the studio tonight with, we got a full house tonight. I got Russ.
Como está Cleveland?
I got Matt.
What up, Cleveland?
I got Ty.
Greetings to my faithful fan.
Growing in number every day.
Keep your clothes on.
Now, on the phone, we are trying something extremely experimental today. Doug, are you there? Doug is not there. Is Dan there? Dan is not there. We've got Yoko, the architect, in the booth working out these technical problems, and if it were up to us, they'd be fixed already, but no, I'm just kidding. All right, so anyway, let's get the show underway. I would just like to start the show in a maybe not typical dork, nerd, geek fashion, but I would like to congratulate the New England Patriots on their impressive performance yesterday. I thought that they were extremely methodical, and they just kind of slowly but surely dismantled the Eagles, and it was pretty impressive. The Eagles were game, and Terrell Owens was remarkable, but just not enough firepower.
If the Patriots were an operating system, which operating system would they be?
Oh, they're reliable as all get out. They'd be like VMS.
Whoa.
But yeah, something you wouldn't want to ever deal with.
If I could just start the show real quick with a gripe, though, I would like to please beg the NFL and, for that matter, college football and every organized football level in the country, and please ban the Gatorade bath.
Yeah, where did that start?
I think it's done.
I think it's enjoyable to watch the coach be uncomfortable after winning.
Okay, that's cool.
Belichick
and all,
looks uncomfortable all the time.
But did you notice that they doused his, 80-year-old father, And can I just say that, several years
they
ago...
They doused our new coach.
Yes, they did. Okay, and that's hopefully he won't catch pneumonia and die before getting here. All right, and here's the thing: George Allen, Hall of Fame NFL coach, coach of the Redskins for years in the late '60s, early '70s, came back to coaching in the mid to late '90s to coach Long Beach State, took them to their first winning record in years, and they doused him with Gatorade at the end of the game of the last game of the season when they finished 6-5. 3 weeks later, he's dead of pneumonia. I mean, if that's not enough to out... You killed a Hall of Fame coach with the Gatorade splash. Just get rid of it.
That's so what killed him.
I'm sorry. It's a tradition. It needs to
that's
be done.
Correlated.
When did it start?
It was Harry Carson, I believe. Was he a linebacker for the Giants? Did it to Parcells.
Parcells, okay.
And I think that's where it started. And it's just ridiculous now.
It is ridiculous.
I think.
But how do you kill a tradition like that? What are you going to do?
You fine anyone who does it $100,000?
Maybe the coaches need to start doing that. The NFL doesn't care.
Well, maybe they should have a nice parasol.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I think I heard Doug on the phone earlier.
Do we hear any? Is there people on the phone? Doug? Dan?
Yeah, it's me. I'm using our brand new conference line.
Oh, right. Cool.
You sound like you're in a tin can right across the room.
is Dan on the line? Dan, oh, Dan's not there. Okay, well, we'll have Dan the Master Googler in, but we have Doug. Doug, since you're on the show this week, you're not Senor Crapple.
But when I'm not, then I'm a Crapple.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and that's what happened last week, and apparently that's what's going on. Well, I meant to tell you that you don't have to worry about next week. We're not going to be on the air next week. There's not going to be a show. We are being preempted by University of Akron basketball, And rather than like start the show late and blah, 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 we just decided maybe we should just actually try to spend Valentine's Day with a girl.
You.
As if.
I'll try.
Okay. All right. Well, look. Okay. So oh, yes, yes, yes. Everybody, please call the show 216-578-1300. You may also email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. I'm not going to tell you again. When I say dialadork.com for the rest of the show, you better know it's hyphenated or tough luck. I think you're going to wind up sending an email to some jerk in Maine. All right. I just want real quick, before we got a caller, but before I get to it, I got to take care of some business. Tonight's show is sponsored by the YMCA of Greater Cleveland. And the YMCA of Greater Cleveland has been serving Northeast Ohio for nearly 150 years, which is remarkable.
That's a long time.
Yes. Where is this Greater Cleveland you speak of?
It's all around us, well, man.
Could it be any greater? Today, at 10 area locations, over 20,000 members of the YMCA of Greater Cleveland are active in programs and services like childcare, summer day camp, aquatics, health and fitness, community development, and more. You can visit www.ymcacleveland.org for more information. And definitely, they built a, you know, I know the Y, I don't know, I assume the YWCA is affiliated with the YMCA. I could be wrong. It could be two totally different organizations. But I know the YWCA built a brand new facility a couple of years ago at the corner of where that little street connects Carnegie and Prospect there.
Yes.
Frequent patron, are you?
Well, I kind of look in the windows and stuff. We'd also like to thank VisionNet, our preferred ISP. VisionNet provides network consulting, website development, web hosting, internet connectivity, and VoIP services. For all your technological needs, contact VisionNet at 1-800-645-9351. That's 1-800-645-9351. And they're local. You don't need to send your money out of Cleveland. Call VisionNet. And, of course, tonight's show is, of course, once again brought to you by The Comm Group, K-O-M-M Group. And you can find us at www.commgroup.com. So we have a caller on line two. Paul, are you there? Paul?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
All right. How are you?
Fine. I'm just new to computers.
Okay.
And I have a problem. You know, up in the upper right-hand corner where you have the minimize bar or the enlarger or it X's the site out.
Sure.
If I enlarge my whatever screen I'm viewing, if I enlarge it, I lose that block and I don't know how to, I can't get it back to minimize or shrink down. I have to turn my computer off. What am I doing wrong, or how can I get the minimize bar to come back, or how do I find it?
You're probably not doing anything wrong. And just in case you're wondering, I think the term is minimize and maximize.
Right, that's it.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Sorry.
So no, that's totally fine. I just want to make sure you can express yourself the way you want to. Make sure we understand exactly. Now, Russ, you have something to say about this?
I was thinking my first thought was that your monitor controls could be a little messed up. You could have part of your monitor displaying above the displayable area.
Okay.
There should be buttons on the front of your monitor that you can bring up, and they'll give you some options to shrink down the picture itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Monitors have a whole bunch of geometric controls to control the placement of your screen, the size of it. Sometimes the sides can get kind of angled, or it can get trapezoidal. They have all these different tools to help you cope with that. You might want to look on your monitor and maybe try moving the screen down and maybe moving it to the left a little bit, or maybe shrinking it in the, usually they give you options to shrink or expand it either in the vertical or the horizontal. So maybe try shrinking it a little in the vertical. But just humor me and just describe the problem one more time.
Okay. When I maximize whatever screen I'm looking at.
Okay.
The maximize and the minimize bar up at the top, it disappears.
It disappears.
And I also have like about a quarter of an inch of black at the very top of the screen. And when I take the mouse with the arrow to the top of the screen, I can't find the minimize bar to reduce it, to shrink it down.
You know, I'm wondering if what window? Yeah, exactly. I'm wondering about like full screen view. Is this happens with any kind of window you're using, or is it just like Internet Explorer?
Just Internet Explorer. I just got my computer hooked up this weekend, and I just tried to play with it to see how things worked, and I hit the maximize, and the picture just filled the whole screen. There was no toolbar at the bottom. There was nothing at the top. It was just the whole picture of the page I was looking at.
All right, well, you know what? It actually sounds like that Internet Explorer might be in what's called full screen mode. And one of the ways that you can cope with that, I do believe, is if you hit the button F11. There's a row of keys above the regular keyboard, above the
right.
row of numbers.
I know just what
the
you're
little,
talking about.
Little function keys. What you want to do is try this. Try opening Internet Explorer, try maximizing it, and then hit F11. And, I mean, if you're in front of your computer, you could try it right now, and maybe we'd have instant feedback. If you're not, you can try it and email us later and let us know what happened. But that might be the problem, actually.
Hit the F11 key?
F11 is, I think, the key that activates and deactivates that full screen mode. And, you know, full screen is useful for certain things. If you want to watch a flash presentation or something in full screen or something like that, it can be mm-hmm. quite nice. And you can even auto-hide that top bar so that you get the whole screen is just your Internet Explorer window. But it can be kind of confusing if it doesn't come back.
Right, it sure is.
Yeah, there are,
I thought I did something wrong, and I played with it for about 10 minutes, so I just finally got aggravated, and I just shut my computer off. Then I booted it back up, and it was back to normal. Everything was the right size. So I guess I'll do that tomorrow when I get on my computer, and I'll play with it, and then I'll email you guys back and tell you how good of a job you did walking me through it.
All right, well, here's the thing. Open your Internet Explorer window, maximize mm-hmm. it. You know, what we want to do is recreate the problem situation, and
right.
then just try hitting F11 and see if you don't get your top bar back again.
And, I will try that.
And Russ, what do you got?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's another useful key that might stop having to shut down the computer altogether. Alt F4 will close any Windows program that's currently in focus.
That's true.
So you should be able to close that window.
Alt, if you hold down the Alt key and then hit
uh-huh.
F4, whatever active window you've got will close.
Okay, I'll write that down, and I'll also try that.
Yeah, so that's a really handy-dandy hotkey shortcut to use, especially
when
if anything.
Entering the room.
yeah. So that's definitely a good one to know. So F11, and if that doesn't work, but maybe at least Alt F4 could extricate you from the situation without you having to go into a reboot, which is definitely not desirable.
Right. So I was told. So I'll definitely try that, guys, and I really appreciate your program being on tonight, and it really is helping me walk through this problem.
No problem. We love you. Thank you for calling.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Great.
I
love to help people.
Isn't it a good feeling? One of my favorite minimize, maximize little archaeological tidbits is I happen to close, minimize, maximize most of my programs from the left Windows. Windows icon or program icon.
Sure.
And that is a very generational thing because just after we stopped our, you know, early 90s, they came up with the right buttons and nobody knows about what's in that menu anymore.
That's true. There in any window in the Windows operating system, there's a little tiny icon on all the way in the upper left corner right next to the title, the window title. And what do you got to do? Can you left-click on that? You can left-click on
it. I double-click on it to close my programs.
You can double-click on it to close things. If you left-click on it, you get your restore, minimize, maximize. You get that whole menu.
Some of
menu.
Them you can also right-click on.
Yep.
If you right-click on it,
you get the menu,
it just gives you close.
Is that a holdover from Windows 3.1? Is that what that is?
That's what I remember it from, yeah. That's when I started my game.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm old. DOS 6, I think.
Whoa.
Guys,
some people
are.
Wait, what do you got, Doug?
You can also get to that with Alt Space.
Alt Space?
Wow.
That's true.
Oh,
that's
my God, he's right.
Really nerdy. That's
that
awesome.
Is awesome.
Wait,
so there's another one.
This is one of Doug's favorite key combos, is the Windows D combo.
Windows D? What does that do?
It shows your desktop.
Oh.
Yep.
The Windows shortcuts are great.
I thought Windows M used to minimize all Windows.
It does. The Windows M still works to minimize all the Windows. Windows D just prevents them from painting on the screen. They're still maximized, whatever size they were.
Oh, man, that is awesome.
Doug, do you even have a mouse on your computer anymore?
Hey, if a mouse does break...
I went for a long time with just doing all key commands when I was just doing coding.
I'm going to upgrade to that Minority Report computer. You just control it with your hands. I think that'll be pretty
Power
sweet.
Glove kind of.
Your hands are busy. You're not fooling anybody.
All right. So one of the things we wanted to talk about, we mentioned at the end of last week's show. Oh man, I almost forgot. Did any of you guys happen to try the pecan pie?
Yes.
From last week and
pecan
this week.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie. There's good. about 3/4 of a pie left at the Union Club Tavern, brought over by, yes indeed, Phil's Delicious. And you can call Phil at 216-269-3409. That's 269-3409. And he will cater your office with cookies, pies, you name it. Everybody likes cookies, but you will love Phil's Delicious. So give them a call. The pecan pie, it was dynamite. All right. One of the things we talked about, you got an email? You got
an
email?
We do have
an
email.
All right. What's the email?
Mac, you got it for us?
Can you read, Matt?
I can read. Hi, Dorks. More questions about cookies.
Okay, cookies.
Is a comparable
is
data line.
Is this like
line.
Phil's Delicious we're talking?
No, these are definitely the computer kind. Okay. They're not quite as tasty.
No.
So this is Dave who wrote in. Is a comparable data line, like the cookie left on your PC, left on the server on the site you're visiting? If so, what info can they get from your machine? I've noticed my name is the first bit of info in the cookie line. How can you set up your machine so that information is not available?
Well,
this is a great question.
The cookie that goes on your computer is part of a pair. The only reason that it does any good is it has a tidbit of information that's unique enough that when you go to that site, the server recognizes it. All the rest of the information it has about you is indeed stored on the server side. What they store is up to what you put in there. If you don't enter any information, they don't have any information. If they made you sign up and type in your name and email address, they can keep all of that. What they do with it, again, depends on the site. How to prevent it, we talked a little bit about that last week, how to go through in the browsers and control cookies or remove cookies.
You can definitely disable all cookies, and not only does that disable cookies from getting onto your computer, it disables the remote sites from reading the cookies that already exist on your computer. And that, I believe, was tools. Wait a minute. You know what? I got to go over to my browser here. It was tools, internet options, and I believe it was privacy. Yes, privacy. And you just slide the little slider bar all the way up to the top, and all cookies will be blocked. So, I think cookies are kind of the sites get out of it what you put into it.
Now, it may sound a little bit elementary, but if you're not sure you trust a site with your personal information, don't give it to them.
Yeah, I mean, this is far from authoritative, but okay, well, so my question is, okay, we're going to be going to a break shortly here, but my question is, AdAware does a phenomenal job of removing cookies that are undesirable. Well, if a cookie is only what you put into it, why would it be undesirable? Could a cookie get your IP address? Could a cookie get some other kind of information?
That's an interesting question. There's a couple of things I think involved in that. One of them is Internet Explorer's integration into Windows, and there's actually two different things kind of connected to that. One is called Profile Assistant, which IE uses to help share kind of the standard user kind of information with Internet Explorer. One of the other things is when Microsoft came out with .NET, all of a sudden these great server-side services were able to make use of information that's available through ActiveX in Internet Explorer. And one of the great reasons why we talk about Mozilla is because those things are not enabled by default. So your privacy is more closely guarded.
All right. So another reason to consider using Mozilla. Maybe you can enable all that stuff in Mozilla.
Absolutely.
So
you have fine level granular control. I love that word.
That's great. So, I mean, you can get down into every little option and control it.
Yeah.
You could even write your own version.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh.
But it's an open source program,
you could
if you wanted to.
You better be good. You better have chops. That's all. All right. So, look, when we get back from this break, we are going to talk a little bit about Google searches you didn't really know you could do. And there are some really cool ones that I have used many, many times and extricated myself from the occasional jam, especially in the kitchen, you'll be surprised to know. So when we get back, Google searches that will blow your mind, man.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's K-O-M-M Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
People Power WERE 1300 AM has something for everyone. Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. we have America's Workforce. The Your Music Show is on Monday through Friday from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. WERE is the Cleveland home for the University of Akron basketball games. WERE has shows on real estate, current events, investments, legal issues, car repair, health, various ethnic programs, a show on food, classical music, religion, and now 24 hours a week of Spanish programming, starting off with 2 hours Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Myra, in Español?
WERE 1300 ahora tiene programa latina. Los lunes hasta la viernes, las 5 de la mañana hasta las 7 de la mañana. Los jueves, las 9 de la mañana hasta las 12. Los viernes, 8 hasta las 11 de la tarde. El sábado, 7 hasta la 1 de la mañana. Y los domingos, los 4 hasta las 6.
Nice job, Myra.
Thank you, Tom. You did a nice job, too.
Mucho gracias, Myra.
Tú eres loco.
What did you say?
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz or a dork or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
All right, we are back on the air. My name is Irv. I'm here with Russ, Matt, Ty, and we have Doug on the phone. Doug, you there still?
So.
Did Dan ever make it in?
I decided to grace you guys with my presence.
Oh, Dan, the master Googler, is in the house, and just in time, because we are going to talk about Google and all the wonderful, wonderful things you can do with it. I'm sure everybody is familiar with just your basic search capability. You put in a couple of keywords, and off you go. But Google has some marvelous, I think what they call maybe like special searches or
advanced searches.
All right. Well, one of the things that I think is phenomenal is Google can replace your calculator. Did you know that?
I did know that.
I love that thing.
You don't even.
I sold my calculator on eBay.
Now, I'm amazed anyone would even buy it.
Google bought it.
Considering Google is just buying up calculators. You can type in what, Yoko, you got to be kidding me. Yoko just put up a message that says, what is Google?
You cannot put up that message.
What is Google?
It is a word now. It like was made it into the dictionary. Google something.
Well, Google was a word before that. It was spelled wrong. It is?
Yeah, Google, the other way.
Oh, with O-L, right? Google?
Google.
Google, well, anyway, Google used to be,
now
what, 10 to the 100th power?
10 with the 100
but
zeros
now,
behind it.
Well, isn't that 10 to the 100th power?
I'm just agreeing with you.
We could look it up.
We could Google it.
We could Google a Google. That's a Googleplex. Yes, that's just right. Google is now a word. And you can Google your... yes, you're right, Yoko. We're dorks. Thank you. You can actually Google math questions. You could just type in 5 plus three and hit the enter key, hit search, and it will return a big fat eight. And it usually gets the right answer, too. I'm impressed.
I should hope so.
You can, if you need to do an exponent, you use the little caret key, which is typically located above the six. So shift six is a caret. And if you type like 10 caret 2, the answer will be 100.
That's
I did
so
that in
impressive.
My head.
Are you sure you didn't write that down?
I didn't. It's not even in
I
my
don't
show
believe
notes.
You.
Sure you're not being paid by Google?
Oh, I wish I was being paid.
How are they getting
paid?
All these answers anyway?
They gave me one share. No, they didn't.
That'd be plenty.
Yeah, that'd be a lot. That'd be like $100 or something.
Can you do integrals and all that kind of fun stuff?
I don't know.
I know Wolfram that makes Mathematica has a website where you can punch in really crazy equations if you happen to know of any of them.
Wolfram? Is that like Wolfram.com?
I forget which site. It might be MathWorld.com.
Isn't Wolfram the old name for tungsten?
We could look that up.
That would be really
obscure. Because isn't the
that's why it's
isn't
W,
the,
yeah.
Isn't the chemical symbol on the table of elements for tungsten W?
Yes, it is.
Can you look up?
I believe that is Wolfram, my friends.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Wasn't Wolfram an enemy of He-Man?
You know, no. I might have been She-Ra.
Oh,
no, that's my sister,
dude. I thought
he was
friends with Skeletor. I don't
He definitely rolled with Skeletor. He was definitely evil. All right, another thing you can do with Google, which is just fantastic, is it will act as a dictionary.
Oh, this
is
the best.
And it's quite unabridged, I might say. All you simply have to do is type the word define, follow. No, you don't even need the colon. Not according to this.
Really?
Yeah. Define, then a space. And then you type whatever word it is you want to define, and I'll be willing to bet that it would define anti-disestablishmentarianism.
I bet it would define Wolfram as one of those creepy cloned creatures they're coming out with lately.
Did you see that note that they've finally grown some muscle tissue on a nano level?
Please stop.
Oh, come on. This was fantastic. Ars Technica had the article on it.
What is it? These
researchers, and I forget what college they were at, they created a small silicon chip with two mechanical levers on it and attached those levers with a silver and chrome metal ribbon, then grew muscle on the ribbon, and by applying, obviously, voltage.
And now,
you can,
now it can bench press 325.
Now that
the most powerful CPU ever made.
Exactly.
But CPU will kick your ass.
Well, yeah, you know, but that bionic arm that you're finally going to get your hands on will just be, you
well,
know,
that'll be
monstrous.
Sweet. I think the bionic arm will ruin baseball.
Probably.
All right. Well, anyway, that's pretty sweet. And by the way, let's just mention that Ars Technica is an
awesome
website. It is a great website if you want to know what we're going to talk about before we talk about it, and be honest with
you.
Did
you just say Ars on the air?
I did say Ars. It's not Ars.
It's
not
ours.
It's ours. And I, you know, there's a lot
more
of this
Latin.
Sort of,
too much
there's a lot
Latin
of this ours business. What is ours? Does anybody know what that
it's
means?
It's Latin for art, dude.
Huh?
Latin for art.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, what is like, because they have a like, game ours, and they have Ars Technica.
Right. But it's all, you know.
Technical arts,
technical
game
art.
Arts,
right. Exactly.
Et cetera.
Oh.
It's
See,
a nerd thing.
Why do you need Google when
you
have
said
Russ?
Et cetera. That's kind of.
Well,
Latin
because
also.
Russ isn't always available.
Well.
He's not like on call like Google is.
He's got a cell phone.
Anyway, look,
baby.
The point is if you type define, followed by a space, and then a word, or maybe even a phrase, if it's a commonly used phrase, Google will not it will return a number of links that have definitions, and usually the very top one, if you click on it, it's sort of takes you to sort of a Google-esque page that has a collaboration of various definitions for the word. It's extremely, extremely useful.
Does that assume English?
That's a good question. I don't know how it works for Spanish. I mean, I know Google has some translate tools. There's plenty of translation tools. So I don't know if you put in, like, define, you know, señorita, what it would do.
Why don't you try that, Russ?
Working on it.
Oh, I don't know if you're going to have to use the tilde.
Try chupacabra as well.
Chupacabra.
Oh, do a bacalaito.
No.
That's a codfish fritter.
Yeah, I can't even say that.
Or a chicharrón. That's a fried pork rind.
What the hell's a changa?
I wish I could spell for
That's
you.
An old
I mean,
all right.
You got to get to conversions, yo. That's my favorite one. That's the only one I use on a consistent basis.
Hey, we've got an email here from...
Or you can ignore me. Thanks.
Oh, sorry. What did you say? Sorry.
I'm sorry.
More important. Get to the users.
Oh, we got Mandy and Menner. Mandy and Menner wants to know, how do you check groups or news groups and on Google, and what are they? Well, okay. This is one of the most powerful features that Google has, is exhaustive search capability of the Usenet news. And what is the Usenet news? It is a...
Can I tell the whole 30-year-old internet story?
Again?
Didn't you tell it last week? So basically at Park... basically there's
it was,
a...
It North Carolina, Chapel Hill, actually.
Sweet. Well, you know what? Go ahead. You obviously really care about this, Ty, so go for it.
Yeah, a couple guys at that school, and I think it was also Duke.
All right, you're done.
This was back in the 80s.
It's a triangle thing.
They came up with this real basic system. Email was great for person to person, but they wanted to have group conversations about things that were archived. And so they invented a real basic system that just batch moved some files between Unix systems from one campus to the other. And it just grew and glommed onto itself, kind of like email did. And now we have Usenet today, which is enormous and has a bajillion groups.
That's right. And there are any number of servers, NNTP servers, Network News Transfer Protocol, I believe that is, servers all over the country that cache all these messages. So if you want to post to the Usenet news, you should ask your ISP what the...
No one does that anymore. That's dead. The new Google stuff is going to take over. Using the Google Groups, that's good stuff.
But isn't the Google Groups the same thing as...
It's tied in, but it's expanded upon, and they're doing different threading, and it's all crazy. But the real value is when you're searching for computer junk.
Oh, yeah. Well, if we're not on the air, and you can't get a hold of the comm group, which is, that would be my fault if you couldn't. So
it's unheard of.
Unacceptable. If you can't get a hold of us and you need to answer a particular computer question, or if a specific error message shows up on your screen, a good thing to do would be to search under Google Groups. So what you want to do is, I think the easiest way to do it is just go to google.com. What I like to do is put in your search term first, search on Google, and if you don't see the result that you want, at the top of the screen, click the groups link, and it will redo your search, but under the Usenet News groups, and you'd be amazed at how many different people have the same problem as you, and somebody's resolved it for them. There are people out there called MVPs, and these guys and ladies can, they're masters of Windows and Office and all that kind of stuff, and they're remarkable in their ability to provide answers, and it's amazing how bizarre some of the solutions are. An error over here, a little setting over here flaps its butterfly wings, and on the other end of the world, there's a big storm. So
you couldn't see that, but Irv just gestured using his left hand for the first part of the sentence and the right hand for the second part.
I'm getting ready for when we have a webcam in here. I'm just pretending.
Well, that's a good segue into one of Google's other good features, the images.
Oh, yeah.
Link right next to the groups.
That's right. Google image search is fantastic. A phenomenal tool, especially if you are maybe doing a presentation, or you need some clip art or something like that.
Or if you're building an obelisk and you need a picture of Egyptian obelisks, you can search for that and getting images.
That's right. I mean, it's one thing to talk about. It's another thing to see one.
Exactly.
All right. Well, getting back to some of the more specialized searches, Google can do what's called a local search. Okay. You can type in, in their example here, you just type pizza and then Poughkeepsie. What it will do is it will return some yellow page entries. Yeah, I'm not even going to tell you how to spell Poughkeepsie, but it returns yellow pages entries in the search results. And it's amazing. I've done it here in Cleveland plenty of times. Okay. We've got, we're going to back off the Google thing for a second here. We've got on line two, we've got Blake. Blake, are you there?
I am.
Blake, what's happening?
Hey, Irv, how are you?
Good, good, good. What's going on? What's your question?
I have a problem with my wireless connection.
Okay, what is the problem?
Well, the problem is I can access, I just got a new computer.
Okay.
I turn on the computer and the wireless connection works. However, when I obviously want to secure it, so I try to enable the web encryption, and it doesn't work. It says that it cannot. It's trying to acquire the network address, and then it says limited or no connection. So So
I've seen that you have we have Windows XP Service Pack 2, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. I have seen that error before many times, and I think it means that you received an IP address from the wireless router, but you're not able to access the internet. Is that
right.
Pretty much what's happening?
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Did you use Do you recall if you used 128-bit WEP? Does that sound familiar?
I believe so.
And did you use a passphrase, or did you just enter in the 26 hexadecimal characters by yourself?
I used a passphrase.
And the passphrase generates the 26 character hexadecimal key.
Yes.
And then when you go to the wireless network configuration page, and you have to enter Service Pack 2 doesn't, I don't believe, allows you to enter a passphrase. I
not
think
on
you
Windows.
Have to actually
use Windows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can use the passphrase, or you can't.
Not on Windows.
Not on Windows.
XP's
okay.
Configured it.
So you have to use the. So you typed in the full 26 character key, not the passphrase, right?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things you might want to try doing is you need to somehow get into your router, okay,
right.
and you need to view what that 26 character key is.
Right.
Okay, it's going to be a series of either digits or letters A through F.
Right.
Okay, so what you need is write that down somewhere.
Okay.
All right, and then you need to go into your wireless settings, and I believe you may need to go into your advanced settings, and especially for that particular connection. Let me ask you a question. You said that you was able to find the network, the SSID? So like,
I don't know.
Like, did you give it a name? Is it like just called Linksys or something?
No,
like that?
No, I gave it a name. It's able to find it. It says I'm connected and says the signal is strong after I type in the password. Cause I just typed in the password and not the key. So it said found the network, and then it said acquiring network address, and that's when it crapped out, basically.
Okay.
What usually happens is it's a two-step process with most wireless routers. They will allow you to connect to the router, and that's why Windows is telling you that, yes, I found it, and yes, I'm connected. And all of a sudden, you're thinking everything is glorious and golden, and lo and behold, Microsoft has lowered the boom on you, and it's not directly the case. This happened to me just last week.
Okay.
The problem specifically was that I had mistyped the WEP key in the wireless settings on my laptop. That's probably exactly what's happened with you. You've either not gotten to the point where you've entered it or you mistyped it. As Irv said, you're going to need to get into the wireless router and write that down, and then right-click on the wireless connection in your network properties window. I think you can get there from Start Settings if you're using the classic menu bar.
Yeah.
And then pop into near the bottom, I believe, is the advanced button that you're looking for, and that should allow you to put the WEP key in there, put that in, allow the window, close all the windows, or say OK through all of those windows. Microsoft will restart your network, and you should be able to then draw an IP address.
I highly recommend actually typing it out in Notepad or a text editor first and cutting and pasting it into that little text box.
That's definitely helpful. One other thing is if nothing is working, okay, if absolutely nothing is working, you can always sort of bare metal the process and start from scratch. And your router probably has a small pin button on the back that says reset, or maybe on the bottom. And if you maybe poke that thing with a paper clip and hold it for about 5 seconds, it will reset the router like hard. Like it will wipe out all your settings and return the router to factory defaults. And then you can just kind of maybe try it again.
Okay.
And one other thing, though, that I've noticed is you have a cable modem?
Yes.
One thing I've noticed about cable modems is that you might have to go in to the router and do, what do they call it? It's like clone the MAC address. There's something about MAC addresses. If you hit clone the MAC address, sometimes those cable modems only recognize one MAC address. It was the first one that connected to it. And you need to, like, clone that address to the for the router.
I think that's more rare than common nowadays.
I've had it happen to me twice recently.
If the router has network ports on it, the easiest thing for you to do is take a network cable between your laptop and the router. You can get in that way without knowing the password and go from there.
All right, we got to go to break, Blake. Thanks a lot, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, email us with your results, and we'll try to help you off the air if you need more help.
Tom Fieser here for the Tom Fieser Radio Show, 8 to 9 every Wednesday morning. We'll talk about the Cavs, the Browns, you, and Cleveland. And by the way, Halpin Insurance will be changing its name to Elite Insurance the first of the year. But that won't change a thing. They're still the same great, hardworking folks that have insured my family for over 30 years for auto, home, life, health, and business. Give them a call, 440-333-8000. Happy holidays from Elite Insurance, a Grange insurance agent. And don't forget to listen to the Tom Fieser Radio Show, 8 to 9 every Wednesday morning.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Hi, this is Jack Perkins, host of Biography on A&E, with some good news for my old hometown, Greater Cleveland. Now, every Monday through Friday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., I'll be your host for Biography for Radio here on WERE 1300 AM. Biography for Radio delivers life stories of the people you thought you knew. Hope you'll join us each weekday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for Biography for Radio here on People Power, WERE 1300 AM, Cleveland.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
You heard it, 216-578-1300. You can also email us at dorks@dialadork.com. And I'm not going to tell you that it's hyphenated, all right? And
read the business stuff.
All right, let me do the business stuff real fast so that we can finish the show on a nice upbeat tone. Tonight's show was sponsored by the YMCA of Greater Cleveland, which has been serving Northeast Ohio for nearly 150 years, back when treadmills were made entirely of wood. I'm sorry. Today at 10 area locations, over 20,000 members. Sorry. Over 20,000 members of the YMCA of Greater Cleveland are active in programs and services like childcare, summer day camp, aquatics, health and fitness, community development, and more. And through the programs and services, members and participants are encouraged to develop to their fullest potential in an environment that encourages a balanced spirit, mind, and body. So visit www.ymcacleveland.org for more info. And we'd also like to thank VisionNet, our preferred ISP. VisionNet provides network consulting, website development, web hosting, internet connectivity, and VoIP services. You know, VoIP might be something we ought to talk about in the next show or something like that.
I was thinking we should hit computerized tax returns.
Oh, man, I just did that.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Hold on one second. For all your technological needs, contact VisionNet at 1-800-645-9351. That's 1-800-645-9351. And they're local. You don't need to send your money out of Cleveland. Call VisionNet. And we'd also like to thank Phil's Delicious for the beautiful pecan pies. And he will cater office party or office event with cookies and desserts and all kinds of things. 216-269-3409. That's 269-3409. So, Russ, you said you had a follow-up email to something we were talking about.
Oh, I do.
Cookie-wise?
A really great user tip here coming in from Scott. If you happen to be really into visiting a site that requires cookies and you're not scared of digging into the file system a little bit, he suggests that if you go find your cookie in your cookies directory, for that site, usually pretty easy by the name to identify that. Pop it open in a text editor, delete all the information from there, close it again, right-click, and make it read-only. They will check for the cookie when you get to the website. They won't bug you about it, but they won't get any info from you.
And they can't write anything to the file either.
Exactly. Ingenious. Very, very clever.
Trickeration. Just in case you don't know where the heck your cookies are stored, one good place to look would be on the C drive under Documents and Settings, and then find the name. There's a number of folders there. Find the name.
Irv, I'm going to interrupt you on this one because there's an easier way to do this.
Okay, go ahead.
You know that Internet Options panel that you've spoken about many, many times?
I know it,
tools,
and I love it.
Internet Options?
I guess I don't know everything about it.
You sure?
Go ahead. Show you.
Go ahead.
You can go to that Privacy tab, and then if you click the buttons there that says View Files, it will take you to the directory where the files are.
With the Privacy tab?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right.
Might be on the, it might be on the General tab.
Doug, are we boring you?
I love Internet Explorer.
No, he doesn't.
You don't lie. You
love
hate it.
Firefox.
You hate it. Well,
Safari,
just in case that doesn't work for you, let me just...
It's
me
so
just,
much harder to search
Let me just say that under the
system,
C drive,
I mean,
under Documents and Settings, find the folder with your name or your login name, and under that, Local Settings, and then Temporary Internet Files, and that's where you will find all your cookies.
I don't think Local Settings is usually shown. Isn't that
you may have to. You may have to show hidden files and folders, which is done in... Windows Explorer, not Internet Explorer, Windows Explorer, Tools, Folder Options, and View.
All right, that took about 30 seconds too long.
Or,
you could just
do
a search. You could just do a search for cookies as well, and the directory is called cookies.
Oh, my God, you're right. I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
Under, forget all the other local settings.
Herb's
stuff.
Tip, a distant third.
Documents and Settings, your name, and then the folder, cookies. That ought to do it. And there's...
Why don't we get to line
three?
Whoa,
I'm looking at mine right now, and there's a lot of a lot of porn in there. What's going on? All right. Line three, Greg, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Irv?
All right, fine. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all.
All right, so what seems to be the trouble?
All right. I've got my internet connection through Earthlink.
Okay.
And when I get an incoming email, if it has any type of Word or Excel attachment... I've lost the ability to just double-click on the attachment and have it pop up, you know, pull the software up and open the file.
Are you using Outlook Express?
No. I'm just using the front-end system that Earthlink provides.
I mean, are you getting your email through your web browser, or are you actually using, like, an email program?
It's an email program, but it's provided by Earthlink.
Uh-oh. Is it like, proprietary? It's not like Outlook or Outlook Express?
No, it's neither one of those.
Hmm. Well,
do you know offhand what the name of it is?
I don't even know if it has a name. It's
probably Earthlink just has a... It doesn't surprise me if Earthlink hands out. We get lots of CDs. I don't know what's on them always. But.
Well, it could be sort of a branded version of Outlook Express in the sense that, like, Yahoo creates a branded version of Internet Explorer with all its little... neat little tools and things
let's,
that it has on there.
Let's fly blind a little bit. Tell us what happened, what used to happen, and when it stopped working, and how you can tell now that it's not working.
Well, basically before, if you had an attachment, you know, you'd see it in the preview pane or just in your little attachment block, you could just go in and double-click on that out of the email message, and it would open up the file. Now when I do it, I basically just double-click, nothing happens. You end up having to save it to the desktop.
So you can actually... You see the attachment, and you can actually right-click and save it, but you can't just launch it from the email client?
Exactly.
It's usually a security setting.
Yeah, I bet they up their security for sure.
Have you changed anything at all? Did it upgrade at all? Did it download a new version or says you need security updates or anything like that?
I might have. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I bet they changed their security policy on that because they didn't want people running any random email attachment.
As it turns out, that's one of the best ways to get a virus is when it's really easy to open attachments. And it, with some programs, you don't even have to double-click anything if you got an attachment that's sent in just the right way. It'll give itself to you. So that's actually good for you that they're doing that.
Yeah, it actually is, you know, something to sort of save you from yourself. But I think that most people would want the ability to disable that and decide for themselves what attachments to run and which ones to ignore. What I would do is I would fiddle around with look in the menus at the top of the window. I'm assuming it's similar to any other program, right?
Mm-hmm.
So look in there for maybe something called tools or something called settings or options or something like that, or preferences, and see if there's a security setting that you can turn on and off that says, you know, allow me to launch attachments or allow me to view attachments or whatever. I know that Outlook Express one day, you installed a couple of security patches or something, and boom, nobody could open attachments anymore.
You couldn't even see the ones they considered dangerous.
Oh, yeah, that's
really?
Right.
Wow.
And so I was on roller skates at the company I worked for trying to change that setting on everybody's computer. So it's entirely possible that that is what has happened. And I don't want this to sound like a cop-out, but because it may be a proprietary mail program that Earthlink distributes, you may have no choice but to contact their tech support, assuming you haven't done that already. Have you done that already?
No, I didn't get that far yet.
Yeah, you could shoot them an email instead of, you don't want to, like, sit on hold for, like, half an hour or something, because I'm sure they get lots of calls. They're really popular. But you could shoot them an email and just explain the problem, and maybe there's a very simple solution that we're just not aware of.
If they can't get you past that, the protocols that they publish the email with, you could use any other email program.
That's true.
That.
That's true. You're
so
not
if you're really hard up. You can download Outlook Express
or an open source solution like Thunderbird.
Yeah, you could use Mozilla Thunderbird or Outlook Express, and exactly the Earthlink website. You should be able to navigate through there to some sort of customer service or member services portion of the website and find all the settings you need to configure it to use your Earthlink mail.
Okay.
So,
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want that to sound it does sound like a bit of a cop out, but sometimes it's the best thing that you realize the limitations of a program you're using, and that usually is what prompts necessity is the mother of invention. Sometimes it's what prompts you to try something new.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the advice, guys.
Yeah, no problem. And shoot us an email and let us know how it went. Okay.
I'll do that.
Because we would
care.
Like to know.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care, and thanks for calling. And we're almost done here, but we want to let you know that you can go to dialadork.com and listen to a recording of tonight's show. If we said something and you missed it, you can listen to a recording that should be ready sometime tomorrow.
Or if you just can't live without the humor through the entire week.
Oh, that's true. Like my fantastic joke.
Or if you can't take us for an hour at a time and need to do a little smaller dose,
break it up into chunks. Yeah, go ahead. We want to remind you there's no show next week. No show next week. It's Valentine's Day. Don't listen to us. Spend time with your online lover, or if you have one in real life.
Conversions.
What's that?
Roll. We got to hit the Google conversions.
Google conversions? Oh,
yeah,
man.
For when you're
that's
doing
my
recipes.
Favorite one.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. When you're doing, I said it was how you help in the kitchen. The conversions. We're like running out of time.
So if you go to Google and you need to convert your centimeters into feet, you know, 300 centimeters
in feet.
Boom.
If you write like 2 cups in ounces, it will tell you exactly how many ounces. It's so cool. You could. I did 400 square feet in hectares. And it really wasn't a lot of hectares, it turns out. Hectares are pretty big.
Nobody wants hectares anyway.
You can, I think. What's that?
I got to toss in my one cent here.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
My favorite Google tool is you can actually Google from your cell phone.
You can send in
a text message to Google, G-O-O-G-L, and then you type in, like, say you're looking for Chinese food, put in Chinese and then the zip code, and it will send you a text message back with results from Google.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's combining the local and the text message features. Very cool.
That is just G-O-O-G-L.
That's
well,
right.
Yeah, the numbers that spell it out on your cell phone.
It's 45564 off the top of my head.
Something like that, yeah.
If only I had a cell phone. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is an unbelievable tip. So if you're lost or you're looking for something, you can actually text message Google.
46645.
46645. Fantastic. Doug, you have anything to add?
Yao Ming!
All right, if you type in Yao Ming in your zip code, you might actually get a Chinese
find your local 7-foot
local basketball clinic or something like that. That was pretty sweet. Thanks. Somebody hang up on him, please, immediately.
Hey, Blake just wrote in on email, said that his web connection is working.
All right.
Connection is working. So that's fantastic. So go to dialadork.com, and don't forget you can advertise on this show. And as low as $30 for an advertisement. Get the power of radio behind you. Dialadork.com, comgroup.com,
Tyler Dork with hyphens.
That's it. We're out. Yoko's giving us the throat slash. We are gone.